ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, This is our second class on Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is December 28th, correct? 2012. We are studying the first chapter of the first canto. The first canto is entitled Creation, and the first chapter is Questions by the Sages, and we're doing verse number 2. Put the drums away. No more drums. Okay? And Mahesh, you know the system. As soon as you have a question, you ring your bell. All right? I will chant the sent. You have a question already? Okay.
So why do we chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya every time before our class?
Okay. If you notice, last time we had class, the very first verse, the very first line is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. When we get to the second canto, again, it will open with Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. To directly answer your question, the way we do that is because that is how Prabhupada taught us. When Prabhupada spoke on Bhagavatam, that is how he always began. So because Prabhupada did it that way, ISKCON does it that way. What else would you like to know? Okay. So here's verse number 2. Dharma projita kaitavotra paramo nimatsaranam satang vedyang vastavam atravastu shivadam tapa triun mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Maha Munikrite Kingva Paraya Ishwaraha Sadyo Hridyavarudyate Tara Kritibi Srusibis Tak Shanat. Word for word meanings. Please repeat. Dharma. Religiosity. Projita. Completely rejected. Very good, boys. You're doing very good. Kaitava. Covered by fruitive intention. There's another definition of Kaitava, which you will see in other places of Prabhupada's books. Kaitava also means cheating. Continuing. Atra. Herein. Parama. The highest. Nirmatsaranam. Of the 100% pure in heart. Now another alternate definition of this word, Nirmatsaranam, is non-envious. If you recall in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, I am going to speak this to you because you are non-envious. Envy is the original sin. Envy begins with envy of God, envy of Krishna. Do you have a question? Envy. Envy means this person has something that I want, and therefore, I don't want him to have it. I want me to have it. I envy. Ooh, why does that person have that? I should have it. That's envy. Okay? All right. So envy begins with envy of God, and then it trickles down. We become envious of other Krishna's parts and parcels, living entities. We see my neighbor, Why he's got the fancy car and the big house? Why not me? Why she has the fancy sari? I should have it. Envy. Okay. Next word. Satam. Devotees. Vedyam. Understandable. Vatsavam. Factual. Atra. Herein. Vastu. Substance. Shivadam. Well-being. Tapatraya. Threefold miseries. All right, so now I will teach you. What are the threefold miseries? Your body and your mind causes you misery. As you get older, this will become more and more apparent. Just like who's sick right now. That's your body. You don't like when you're sick, do you? Right? Because your body is sick, you are feeling misery. When your mind is disturbed, right? When you're not peaceful, that means misery. So the first miserable condition is your own body and mind. That is called adhyatmika. The next one, adi bhautika. Other conditioned souls cause you suffering. Insects. When you go to India, you have to be very careful of the mosquitoes. Because right when I went to India, they what kind of mosquito they had? Dung something?
They call, I don't know how to call it in English, but they call maki and they small thing. It can bite you very quickly and it becomes so red.
Okay, they had a certain kind of, not malaria, but they called it something else. What? Okay, they had some D word. Anyway, too many ants or cockroaches. What? All right. So sometimes dogs. When I was younger than you, a dog bit me. So ever since then, I hate dogs. Right? Or sometimes your friends cause you miserable. Do you have any mean friends?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or in business, somebody owes you lots of money and they're not paying. That's so other living entities cause you misery. So that's called adhi bhautika. And then the third one, adhi daivika, means the demigods, they are controlling the rain, the sun, the wind. This year in America, there has been much, much adi daivika. Last month or the month before, we had that big flooding on the East Coast. Now they're getting a big, big snowstorm. You know from India, in Delhi, in the summer, it gets to be 120 degrees, right? So the demigods are causing us misery. So those are your three miseries. Nirantara Das has discovered the fourth misery, technology. Technology, when it fails, when our iPhone doesn't work, when our computer crashes, when our so much of our life is dependent on technology, that causes us misery. Yes, what is your question? Technology means machines. You know what is a machine? All right, sit down. You have a question? What?
Is machine like a
radio? Radio is a kind of machine. Computer, car, things that work, metal, plastic, machines. Okay. Are you ready to continue?
Yeah.
Next word. Unmulanam, causing uprooting of. Shrimat, beautiful. Bhagavate, the Bhagavat Purana. Mahamuni, the great sage Vyasadeva. Krite, having compiled. Compiled means to put together, to add up. All right? You compile something. What? Okay, wait. Only questions. Only questions. Otherwise, we'll be here till midnight. And at some point, your father may say, no questions. So, father is in control. All right, next word. Kim. What is? Va. The need. Parai. Others. Ishwaraha. The Supreme Lord. Now, I will teach you something. Why he says Supreme Lord? Because there are many lords. There are smaller lords, like demigods. You have a landlord. So there are many lords, but there is one Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is God. The Supreme Lord is known by the name Krishna, or he can be Narayan, Supreme Lord. Other lords, demigods, Brahma, Shiva, but they're not the Supreme Lord. Next word, Sadhya, at once, Hridi, within the heart of Arudyate, become compact, Atra, herein, Kritibi, by the pious men. Shushru Shubi, by culture. So here, culture means something you work at and something you do more and more day after day. You culture it. For instance, you boys are learning how to play mridanga, yes? Good. So, you are going to learn the culture of mridanga. How to play it. You understand? The culture. How something is learned and how you become more and more expert. Next word. Tatkshanat. Without delay. Delay here means, delay means something was supposed to be done, but you put it off. So this is without delay. Immediately. Right away. For instance, when it's time to go to the bathroom, you don't want to delay. Right? Because you need to do it right away. When something is on the stove, and your mother knows, uh-oh, I better take care of it, right? Not delay, because then the milk can boil over or the rice can get burnt. That's why Mother Yashoda didn't allow Krishna to continue drinking. Mother Yashoda was feeding Krishna, remember? But then she heard the milk was boiling over, so she delayed Krishna and ran to take care of the milk. And then Krishna got angry, and we have our pastime of Damodar. Everybody say Damodar. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra. I am enjoying this class too much. All right, please repeat the translation. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated. Motivated means why somebody is doing something. That is called motivation. Why, like for instance, why people are spending hours and hours playing basketball. They're motivated by what? Money, money, money. Fame. You understand? So motivation means What is making a person do a particular thing? All right. Please repeat. This Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality, distinguished from illusion, for the welfare of all. So here we're not talking about Hindu religion, Christian religion, Muslim, no. We're talking about truth, which is for everybody. Next, please repeat. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva, in his maturity, because I mentioned in the last class, Vyasadeva had already compiled the Vedas, Upanishads, Puranas, Itihasas, Mahabharata, Vedanta Sutra. This was the final work. So he had become mature. Next. Is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? Okay, do you all know who is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta?
Yeah.
That's Prabhupada's guru.
Yeah.
He once said that if all the books in the world are destroyed and Bhagavatam remains, no problem. Based on here. Next, please repeat. As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within one's heart. So two things. Attentive. Attentive means you don't let your mind wander. You listen carefully to each and every word. And submissive. Submissive means don't just challenge just because you want to show how smart you are. Submissive means first you listen. Now if you don't understand, okay, ask question. There's a difference. Submissive. Submissive means let me at least hear what is being said. All right, Mahesh, before we go any further, do you want to ring the bell? You're good? You're happy? I can continue as I'm doing?
As long as they're asking less questions.
So you like that? All right. Now we will study the purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. First, I want to chant my two mantras. Trinadapi sunichena, taradiva sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. Hare nam, hare nam, hare nam eva kevalam. Kalo nastyeva, 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 katiranyata. I really like this room. I love these pictures. These pictures put me in very good mood to speak Bhagavatam. All right, let's look at the purport. Pay attention, boys. I will explain for the boys as we go along. Religion includes four primary subjects, namely pious activities. So the word pious means good. Impious means sinful. Or just like if somebody disobeys the laws of the state, he's called a criminal. And somebody who obeys the laws, he's called a good citizen. So pious activities means you follow the religious laws. Okay, next. Economic development. Economic development means that you get money, and with that money, you buy things. You understand? Next, satisfaction of the senses. You got money, you bought things, and with those things, you're happy. Nobody buys things to make themselves unhappy. People buy things because they think, oh, if I buy this car, if I buy this TV, if I buy this, I'll be happy. They enjoy. Okay? Just like right now, Friday night, all the garmies, they're spending their money. They're going out to the clubs, to the bars, to the shopping malls. They're spending money thinking, now I will enjoy. All right. And then, finally, liberation from material bondage. Material bondage means birth after birth, after birth, after birth, millions and millions of times. That's liberation, material bondage. Liberation means no more birth and death. No more El Segundo. Liberation means you go to the spiritual sky. Okay? Prabhupada continues. Irreligious life. Irreligious means sinful. Is a barbarous condition. Barbarous. In the Western civilization, you had the Greek Empire and the Roman Empire, but they were destroyed later on by the barbarians, the big demons who came from Germany and other places of Europe. Barbarians. Modern day barbarians, gangsters. Those are barbarians. Okay? All right. Indeed, human life begins when religion begins. Eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating are the four principles of animal life. These are common both to animals and to human beings. But religion is the extra function of the human being. Without religion, human life is no better than animal life. Therefore, in human societies, there is some form of religion which aims at self-realization and which makes reference to man's eternal relationship with God. That is very important. I'll say that again. Religion which aims at self-realization and which makes reference to man's eternal relationship with God. That is what is religion. Okay? Let's continue. In the lower stages of human civilization, there is always competition to lord it over the material nature. Or, in other words, there is a continuous rivalry to satisfy the senses. Driven by such consciousness, man turns to religion. He thus performs pious activities or religious functions in order to gain something material. But if such material gains are obtainable in other ways, then so-called religion is neglected. This is the situation in modern civilization. Man is thriving economically, so at present, he is not very interested in religion. Churches, mosques, or temples are now practically vacant. Men are more interested in factories, shops, and cinemas than in religious places which were erected by their forefathers. This practically proves that religion is performed for some economic gains. Economic gains are needed for sense gratification. Often, when one is baffled in the pursuit of sense gratification, he takes to salvation and tries to become one with the Supreme Lord. Consequently, all these states are simply different types of sense gratification. Now, to prove Prabhupada's point, his point here, religion is performed for some economic gains. You all remember 9/11. Were they born yet? They weren't born. So they said on the news, right after, okay, 9/11 was on a Tuesday, right? 9/11 was a Tuesday. That Sunday, the churches were packed. Previously, before 9/11, the churches were not packed. But after 9/11, everybody got scared. All of a sudden, everybody went to church. And then, week after week, the numbers started dwindling, dwindling, dwindling. Then, when another disaster occurs, all of a sudden, everybody's... Now, on another level, we see in ISKCON, right? The guru doesn't come very often. But when the guru comes, all of a sudden, everybody is acting so good. Like that. So, that is called motivation. Here, move this. No problem. Move away. You gotta make room for him. Yeah. Alright. When you're ready, I'm ready. Okay, next paragraph. In the Vedas, the above mentioned four activities are prescribed in the regulative way so that there will not be any undue competition for sense gratification. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental to all these sense gratificatory activities. It is purely transcendental literature which can be understood only by the pure devotees of the Lord who are transcendental to competitive sense gratification. In the material world, there is keen competition between animal and animal, man and man, community and community, nation and nation. We see the Palestinians, the Jews. So many countries now, they're at the brink. They're going to fight. It's all based on this. How can I get more control over the resources of material nature? Why did we go into Iraq for oil? All the wars basically are for how to get more and more of the world's property. Let's continue. But the devotees of the Lord rise above such competitions. They do not compete with the materialists because they are on the path back to Godhead, where life is eternal and blissful. What's an example of this? Prabhupada just said the devotees rise above. That man came to see Sanatana Goswami. And he said, I want the best thing from you. So Sanatana Goswami had a touchstone. He goes, see that garbage heap? There is a touchstone. Go take it. So when the man went home with the touchstone, he said, wait a second. If that was the most valuable thing, why did Sanatana have it in the garbage? So he went back to Sanatana. Hey, you must be cheating me. I want the best thing you have. So Sanatana said, oh, you sure? I didn't think you were really that interested. Okay, put that touchstone back in the garbage. If you do that, then I will give you the best thing. And then he said, now chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Sanatan was uninterested in that touchstone. He had something better than gold, the Hare Krishna mantra. Let's continue. They do not compete with the materialists because they are on the path back to Godhead, where life is eternal and blissful. Such transcendentalists are non-envious and pure in heart. In the material world, everyone is envious of everyone else, and therefore there is competition. But the transcendental devotees of the Lord are not only free from material envy, but are well-wishers to everyone, and they strive to establish a competitionless society with God in the center. The contemporary socialists' conception of a competitionless society is artificial, because in the socialist state, there is competition for the post of dictator. From the point of view of the Vedas, or from the point of view of common human activities, sense gratification is the basis of material life. There are three paths mentioned in the Vedas. One involves fruitive activities to gain promotion to better planets. Another involves worshipping different demigods for a promotion to the planets of the demigods. And another involves realizing the absolute truth and his impersonal feature and becoming one with him. Yes, boss.
Is that referred to karma yoga?
Not karma yoga, but karma. And then worshiping demigods is called upasana. And then realizing the absolute truth and his impersonal feature, jnana. Okay? That's the... So you have karma, and then you have upasana, or worship of the demigods, and then realizing the absolute truth in the impersonal feature, that's jnana. Good enough? You're satisfied? All right. The impersonal aspect of the absolute truth is not the highest. That was something I mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita Yajna at the end of chapter 12. Where Krishna says, Brahmanohi pratishtaham. Krishna says, I am the source of the Brahman. And then I made my standard joke. Don't be spiritually dyslexic. Because many people think, no, no. Krishna comes from Brahman. And they think that Brahman is superior. So I call those people spiritually dyslexic. Dyslexic means you see everything backwards. Okay? So, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am the source of Brahman. Okay, let's continue. The impersonal aspect of the absolute truth is not the highest. Above the impersonal feature is the Paramatma feature. Boys, who is Paramatma? Where does he reside?
The Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah, but as far as Paramatma, where is he? No. The Paramatma is within you. Your nose? Your ear? Where is he?
Body.
Where?
Yeah, in which part?
Which part of your body?
In your ear.
You've heard this a billion times. Mommy, tell him.
Heart.
In your heart. You never heard that? You never heard that Krishna's in your heart?
I just know that.
Oh, I have a song, The Lord in the Heart. You must have heard me say it a trillion times. Ring the bell. So where is Krishna in the body? Boys, where is Krishna in the body? Thank you. Above the impersonal feature is the Paramatma feature. And above this is the personal feature of the Absolute Truth, or Bhagavan. Everybody say Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
Srimad Bhagavatam gives information about the Absolute Truth in His personal feature. It is higher than the impersonalist literatures and higher than the Jnanakanda division of the Vedas. It is even higher than the Karmakanda division and even higher than the Upasana. So there's your three. You see, Mahesh, where I was getting Upasana, Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, Upasana Kanda. You see that? Because it recommends the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna. Everybody say Shri Krishna. Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama. You guys know that one, right? All Gujaratis know that line. Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama. Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama. Mahesh, you know that, right? You never taught that?
I didn't know you didn't know that.
Wow, I thought every Gujarati knows.
This is a really popular song.
It's like the standard mantra. It's like when you go to Hawaii, everybody says, Aloha. In Gujarat, everybody says, Sri Krishna Sharana Mama. That was given by Ballabhacharya. Really? All right. So now you know. What? Okay. Vallabhacharya lived at the same time as Lord Chaitanya. He met Lord Chaitanya, got Lord Chaitanya's blessings, and he was a great devotee of Krishna, and he started his own sampradaya, Pushti Marg. Pushti Marg means you get nourishment, encouragement, enthusiasm by worshiping Krishna. Pushti Marg. Just like your mother and father are nourishing you. Yes. Do you work for your food?
No.
Do you work for your clothes?
No.
Who's doing all that?
Mom.
Yeah. When you were a baby, your mother nourished you with her own milk. All right? So you are being maintained and nourished by your parents. So in Pushti Marg, the devotee is nourished by Sri Krishna Bhagavan. Let's, oh, yes, go.
It says there's three paths in Vedas. Isn't the personal worship of the personal feature of one path?
Let's see if Prabhupada answers your question. If not, then I will answer it. Hold that. Let's see if he answers. Because I can answer, but let's see. I want to see how Prabhupada goes. Okay? The Srimad Bhagavatam is superior to all these because it aims at the Supreme Truth, which is the substance or the root of all categories. From Srimad Bhagavatam, one can come to know the substance as well as the categories. The substance is the Absolute Truth or the Supreme Lord, and all emanations are relative forms of energy. So to answer your question, upasana generally means worship of demigods. But when you come to Srimad Bhagavatam, when you come to bhakti, all of these, karma is included, jnana is included, upasana is included. At the end of chapter 8 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, one who does devotional service is not bereft of the results derived from, and then there's a whole list, meaning that if you do bhakti devotional service, you get everything that all the other processes could possibly get you. It's complete. If you have $100, that includes 1, 5, 10, 20, 50. If you have 5, you don't have 10, you don't have 20. So bhakti is chapan bhog, complete. Everything is there. Any other questions?
No.
I'm not asking you. I'm asking Papa. Shall we continue? Nothing is apart from the substance, but at the same time, the energies are different from the substance. My favorite example to explain this, a flame. The flame is one. The flame is the substance. The flame is giving off two categories. What are the two categories emanating from the flame? The flame has two categories or two symptoms. Heat. What did you say? The flame itself. We're just talking about the flame. So heat, right? And light. 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 Those are the two categories of the flame. You know you have a flame because as soon as you get close, it's hot. Don't touch. And you can see it. If it was just heat and no flame, no light, oh boy, you're in big trouble. Because you wouldn't know. You just know it's hot. But where is it coming from? But you can see it. So the flame is the substance and the categories are the heat and light. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Let's continue. This conception is not contradictory. Srimad Bhagavatam explicitly promulgates this simultaneously one and different philosophy of the Vedanta Sutra, which begins with the Janmadi Yasya Sutra, which is also the very first thing we learned last class. After the opening phrase, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, this line came, Janmadi Yasya Yataha, which is the same thing as the Vedanta Sutra. Same author. All right. Let's continue. This knowledge that the energy of the Lord is simultaneously one with and different from the Lord is an answer to the mental speculator's attempt to establish the energy as the absolute. When this knowledge is factually understood, one sees the conceptions of monism and dualism to be imperfect. So monism means it's all one. And dualism means no, I just see duality. Both of those, as he says here, are imperfect. Perfection is to be able to see monism within dualism or dualism within monism. That is what we follow. Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. That everything is simultaneously one with and at the same time different from Krishna. Just as, let's go back to the flame. The flame is one, but it's giving off two energies, heat and light. So one flame, two energies. So the heat is part of the flame, but it's not by itself. It's part and parcel. Same with the light. Okay, here's more understanding of simultaneously one and different. We are all human beings. That makes us one. But you were born in India, I was born in New York. That makes us different. You all now are the same family. But they came from you. You didn't come from them. You're one and different. That's why, because they're your parents, you have to do what they say. You cannot say, hey, we are equal. My name is Sony, your name is Sony. Yes, you're all Sonys, but those two Sonys are superior to these two Sonys. Do you understand? Yes? So something can be one and at the same time different. Achintya, inconceivably, one. So, we say, everything is one with Krishna in the sense that it's all Krishna's energy. But at the same time, I don't worship this plastic bottle. Om Namo Bhagavate. Where's my bell? No. This is Krishna's energy, but this is not Krishna. This is explained in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita from verse 4 through 10. I mentioned that at the Gita Yajna. Krishna explains Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. Mahesh, you have a question or shall I continue? Yes. Verses 4 through 10. If you read that section, Krishna is explaining Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. How he is here and not here. You're very welcome. We're really rolling today. I'm in a good mood today. I am fired up. Okay. This knowledge that the energy of the Lord is simultaneously one with and different from the Lord is an answer to the mental speculator's attempt to establish the energy as the absolute. When this knowledge is factually understood, one sees the conceptions of monism and dualism to be imperfect. Development of this transcendental consciousness, grounded in the conception of simultaneously one and different, leads one immediately to the stage of freedom from the threefold miseries. Here they are. Let's see if I was right. All right, let's see if Nirantara passes the test. The threefold miseries are, one, those miseries which arise from the mind and body. Did I say that? Two, those miseries inflicted by other living beings. Did I say that? And those miseries arising from natural catastrophes over which one has no control. Well, I just went on to say that those are caused by the demigods. You have no control over a hurricane, earthquake, God forbid. Krishna, please, no earthquakes. Okay, Mahesh, you rang the bell? Oh, okay. Adi Adhyatmik. If you send me an email, I'll send you the exact Sanskrit. Adhyatmik, Adhibhotik, and Adhidaivik. And then I made a joke. Adhitechnik. All right? Send me an email, and I'll give you the exact, because I don't know exactly how you spell them. You send me an email, then I'll show you how they look spell-wise. Okay? Shall we continue? Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the surrender of the devotee unto the absolute person. Where is Kamlesh Patel? Where do we read that? That's the end of Bhagavad Gita, is it not? The end of Bhagavad Gita is what? Kamlesh Patel. Sarvadharman parityaja mamekam sharanam vraja ang tvang sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami masuchaha. So Srimad Bhagavatam begins where Bhagavad Gita leaves off. The devotee is fully aware that he or she is one with the Absolute and at the same time in the eternal position of servant to the Absolute. So this is where simultaneously one and different really comes into play. I'm spiritual, Krishna is spiritual. Am I God? No. I am part and parcel of God. And even if I am God, I'm subordinate to Krishna. Like there's a joke, I think Prabhupada would sometimes say, but I've said many times. You will hear sometimes people say, oh, we are all gods. Okay. You are all gods. But you have to admit that when Krishna lived, his being God was a lot different than us. So we may be God, but Krishna is the supreme God. Like that. For instance, how old are you? Can you lift Govardhan Hill? No. Oh, how come? I thought you were God. Uh-uh. You're not that kind of God that can lift Govardhan Hill for 7 days. So, we are all spirit. Yes. But we're not the supreme spirit. Let's continue. In the material conception, one falsely thinks himself the Lord of all he surveys, and therefore he is always troubled by the threefold miseries of life. But as soon as one comes to know his real position as transcendental servant, he at once becomes free from all miseries. There's a song by Bhaktivinod Thakur says the same thing. That as soon as you accept that you're the eternal servant of Krishna, all miseries go away. That song is Radha Krishna Bol Bol Bolo Re Sobai. One of those verses in that song. The meaning is same thing here. As soon as you accept that you're the eternal servant of Krishna, all miseries go away. As long as the living entity is trying to master material nature, there is no possibility of his becoming servant of the Supreme. Service to the Lord is rendered in pure consciousness of one's spiritual identity. By service, one is immediately freed from material encumbrances. Spiritual identity, Lord Chaitanya answers that question because Sanatana Goswami asked him, who am I? Why am I suffering? And Lord Chaitanya said, you are the eternal servant of Krishna. Krishnera Nitya Das. Jivera Swarupa Hai Krishnera Nitya Das. You are the eternal servant of Krishna. Shall we go on? Not much bell today. Over and above this, Srimad Bhagavatam is a personal commentation on the Vedanta Sutra by Sri Vyasadeva. It was written in the maturity of a spiritual life through the mercy of Narada. We'll read that in chapter 5. That's coming. It's one of my favorite sections of the Bhagavatam. Chapter 5, 6 is the conversation between Narada and Vyas. I always love reading that section. It was written in the maturity of a spiritual life through the mercy of Narada. Sri Vyasadeva is the authorized incarnation of Narayan, the personality of Godhead. Therefore, there is no question as to his authority. Yes, Vyasadeva has many nicknames. Bhagavan Rishi, God in the form of a Rishi. Vyasadeva is also known as Veda Vyas. He's also known as the literary incarnation of God. Okay. Therefore, there is no question as to his authority. He is the author of all other Vedic literatures, yet he recommends the study of Srimad Bhagavatam above all others. In other Puranas, there are different methods set forth by which one can worship the demigods. But in the Bhagavatam, only the Supreme Lord is mentioned. The Supreme Lord is the total body, and the demigods are the different parts of that body. Consequently, by worshiping the Supreme Lord, one does not need to worship the demigods. Hence, in ISKCON, that's why you don't see demigods in ISKCON temples. It's based on here. If you worship the Supreme Lord, there's no need to worship the demigods. And we learn from Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 7, that if you worship demigods, that's where you're going. If you worship ghosts and spirits, You're going there. If you worship your forefathers, you will join them. But if you worship Krishna, then you go to Krishna. You want to go to Krishna? You want to go to Krishna? Then Krishna said, who worships demigods? People who are full of material desires. But the problem with material desires and worshiping demigods, the results are limited, they're material, and they're temporary. They're not eternal, because they're material benedictions. And then Krishna says after that, well, by the way, even if you worship a demigod, they have to get permission from me before it's given. You see that? They can't do it independently. They have to go to Krishna. And if Krishna says yes, then the person gets the benediction. Let us continue. Yes? You want something, and then someone gives it to you. Did you have Christmas here? Did you celebrate Christmas? No?
We give it to a gift, right?
You didn't get anything for Christmas? Hello? He didn't get anything for Christmas?
I just got one thing.
Oh, just one thing. And what was it? You got a toy. Did you want that toy?
Yeah.
That's a benediction. You understand? Okay. What did you get for Christmas?
I got an armor.
A what?
Armor.
All right. That's your benediction. You got something different. Why did you want what he wants? Did you want what he got? You did? Okay, then. You got what you wanted, he got what he wanted.
But I want that mostly.
You got what you got. You got what you want. You see what I'm wearing? This was a benediction from my family. I also got benedictions from my family. Okay? All right. Let's continue. Let's see. The Supreme Lord is the total body, and the demigods are the different parts of that body. Consequently, by worshiping the Supreme Lord, one does not need to worship the demigods. The Supreme Lord becomes fixed in the heart of the devotee immediately. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended the Srimad Bhagavatam as the spotless Purana and distinguishes it from all other Puranas. Yes?
What does
Veda Vyas
mean?
Veda Vyas. It means that person who gave us in written form all the Vedic knowledge, the four Vedas, 108 Upanishads, 18 Puranas, the histories, the Mahabharata, and Vedanta Sutra.
So Vyas is person.
Yes. Veda. Veda means knowledge. The word Veda means knowledge. I don't know exactly what the word Vyasa means, but he has various titles. Veda Vyas, Bhagavan Rishi, like that. Good enough? All right. The proper method for receiving this transcendental message is to hear it submissively. A challenging attitude cannot help one realize this transcendental message. One particular word is used herein for proper guidance. This word is shu shrushu. Everybody say shru shrushu. One must be anxious to hear this transcendental message, and that's why, my good friend Mahesh, this class is successful. Because wasn't my idea. You want this Bhagavatam class, yes? So as long as you want it, you will be successful. So I pray, I bless you, that you never stop wanting. Because I once had a student who did my Bhagavad Gita home study program. And then he went on to Bhagavatam. But he could not go beyond, I think he got as far as 7 chapters, and he gave up. And why did he give up? He gave up because of envy. He must have saw something in Bhagavatam. And when he saw that, he was not ready to be submissive to it. He stopped. He did my whole Bhagavad Gita, 18 chapters. But when he started Bhagavatam, he stopped and never came back. So this verse is important. You have to be free from envy and then shushushu, anxious. Okay? One must be anxious to hear this transcendental message. The desire to sincerely hear is the first qualification. Ring your bell. Perfect. The desire to sincerely hear is the first qualification. Prabhupada tells a story about himself. That when Prabhupada would hear from Bhakti Siddhanta was talking very high language. Prabhupada said, sometimes I didn't understand what he was saying, but I still wanted to hear. And Bhakti Siddhanta at one point said, this man, he likes to hear. One day he will do everything. And you see what happened. So this is very important. The desire to sincerely hear is the first qualification. May you never lose that. Do you like to hear from Indradumna? Many times over the years, people have asked me very seriously, Prabhuji, how do I know who is my guru? And this is what I tell them. Who is that person you want to hear from? That's your guru. For some people, it's Rush Limbaugh. For some people, Lady Gaga. Never mind. She's a demon. So, who is that person you want to hear from? That's your guru. Very simple. Let's continue. Less fortunate persons are not at all interested in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. The process is simple, but the application is difficult. So that's why my student couldn't go on. Here's the answer. The process is simple, but the application is difficult. Unfortunate people find enough time to hear idle social and political conversations. But when invited to attend a meeting of devotees to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, they suddenly become reluctant or they indulge in hearing that portion of the Bhagavatam they are unfit to hear. We see how many people come to Nam Mahat. Only a handful. Sometimes professional readers of the Bhagavatam immediately plunge into the confidential topics of the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, which they seemingly interpret as sex literature. Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to be heard from the beginning. Ring the bell. Mahesh, are we starting from the beginning? Did you not tell me to start from the beginning? See how you're obeying Prabhupada? Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to be heard from the beginning. Those who are fit to assimilate this work. Assimilate means really understand it. That's what it means to assimilate. You really understand it. Those who are fit to assimilate this work are mentioned in this sloka. Quote. Hold on. One becomes qualified to hear Srimad Bhagavatam after many pious deeds. Well, 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 Mahesh. You now understand something about yourself? I'll read that again. One becomes qualified to hear Srimad Bhagavatam after many pious deeds. Well, whatever it was, the intelligent person with thoughtful discretion can be assured by the great sage Vyasadeva that he can realize the Supreme Personality directly by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam without undergoing the different stages of realization set forth in the Vedas. One can be lifted immediately to the position of Paramahansa simply by agreeing to receive this message. And that is how this movement, ISKCON, started. Look at who Prabhupada was preaching to in the beginning. Hippies, drug addicts, homosexuals, all kinds of sinful, not to pakka pakka Hindu Brahmins. Nobody in India was interested in Prabhupada's movement. But when he came to America, his first students were hippies, drug people. Okay? But some hour or other, they agreed to hear Prabhupada. Prabhupada started by playing drum in the park and doing kirtan. Then he got his storefront and he was giving class twice, three times a week. And because they stayed and listened to Prabhupada's lecture, little by little, they became purified, and then they started to open temples. It's all from hearing. And these guys were in their 20s, late 20s. But Prabhupada's vibration, sound vibration, was so powerful, and they accepted it, and they got it. And just with that little bit, they opened temple San Francisco, Montreal. So this hearing, this what we just read here, so vital. What is your question? Shabda Brahma means spiritual or transcendental sound. Shabda Brahma means Bhagavad Gita, that spiritual sound vibration. The mantra, chanting Hare Krishna, that's Shabda Brahma. Shabda means sound. Brahma means spiritual, absolute, transcendental. Your next question. Mataji, question. Question. No. Now I will ask questions. Let's see what you learned. Okay? So we're just going to look at the translation. Okay? Look at that translation and let's see if we learned anything. What kind of truth is Bhagavatam propounding? What kind of truth? Yes? Highest, ring your bell. Okay. And, Mataji, based on the translation, what is the highest truth? It's right there. You don't have to, you just have to read it. What is the highest truth?
Reality of distinguishes from illusion for the welfare of all.
That's it. It's reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. That's why, as I've said billions of times, I did not join a Hindu religion. I joined the highest truth. Now, you should know Bhagavad Gita chapter 15, right? how this world is like an upside down banyan tree. So this world is not reality. The reality is Radha Krishna's spiritual world. All right? Mahesh, when, according to the translation, when did Vyasadeva compile Bhagavatam? When? In his maturity. And what, Mataji, what adjective is used to describe Bhagavatam? What kind of Bhagavatam? What does Srimad mean? What do you say, Mahesh? Ah! Ring the bell! Excellent! Srimad means beautiful. So what kind of Bhagavatam? The beautiful. In the purport, Lord Chaitanya was quoted as saying, Bhagavatam is what kind of Purana? No, not beautiful. In the purport, it said, Lord Chaitanya says that Bhagavatam is blank Purana. Spotless, ring the bell. You guys are really good today. Very good. Now, why, what? I will. Look at the translation. Look at the translation. Why is there no need of any other scripture apart from Bhagavatam? Why? According to the translation. Why is there no need of any other scripture? Why? Because Prabhupada said so? Because Obama said so? What's the answer? I will accept that as an alternative answer. Ring the bell. But there's a more direct answer. No. Why is there no need of any of the scripture? I will give you that as an alternative answer. What's the answer I'm looking for? Come on, it's right there. Ah, ring the bell. It is sufficient in itself for God realization. This is how I make my questions. When you do this Bhagavatam home study program, these are the kinds of questions that you're going to be asked. Just like you're struggling with Bhagavad Gita, right? Yes, because you have to get used to my madness. That's why most of my students, they did Krishna book first, and they became accustomed to my madness. Then, after 90 chapters of knowing, all right, this is what Nirantara does, then when they get to Gita, they're used to me. You haven't gotten used to me yet. You're trying to figure out, what the hell is this guy doing? When I compiled the Brahman test for New Dwarka in the late 90s, Swabhas told me to come up with a Brahman exam. So some of the Namahat people, after they took the test, they got mad at me. They said, why'd you make it so difficult? So Swabhas, after so many complaints, they went to Swabhas. Some of my Namahat students, I'm not mentioning any names, but some of them went to Swabhas and criticized. So Swabhas came to my office and said, let me see the test. So he looked at it, and I explained. I said, the reason why I made it like this is I wanted people to actually read Prabhupada's books and learn it. I didn't, like one Namahat person said, I should have made it general. I said, no, because especially the Indian people, they have heard so much. I want them to learn Prabhupada. So when I explained that to Swabhas, he said, good. He agreed. So that's why I did it the way I did it. Because to take that Brahman test, you had to study certain books and you had to know it like you know your zip code. You had to really know it. That was one of the first students to take it were these devotees from Russia. And they took it on Ekadashi. And they started at 9 o'clock and they didn't finish till 8 o'clock at night. It was so hard for them. Anyway, the point was, I told everybody, you have to read this material for 6 months straight. Just learn every word. All right, let's see if I have any more questions. Oh, for the boys. Where is Krishna? And how about here?
In your heart.
In your heart. Ring the bell. Well, you didn't say. All right. That's okay.